Seasons of refreshing. Seasons of refreshing will come. The promise from God. Does anyone need to be refreshed? Renewed, restored? We do. We do. In verse 21 in the Amplified Version of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, through him you believe in, parentheses, adhere to and rely on God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him honor and glory, so that your faith and your hope are centered and resting God. Centered and trusting in God. I read that this week, and I said, sometimes I need to be recentered. As I was sitting there considering that, and I look at the wall in front of me at our house, and I'm thinking about, you know, sometimes you see a picture and you need to recenter it. You need to get it level, you know. Now, it doesn't necessarily bother me if they're out of level, but I can see if they are. And you know, sometimes when you go to re-level something, then you got to back up. And when Vicki and I were putting up the banners, I put it up. But when you're this close to it, you're not positive. So she would say, well, this needs to come up. Well, I'm standing and I'm thinking, well, I don't know, it looks pretty good from here. But then I get down and look and yeah. Then you bring it up and you get it centered. And if you've got to do it more than once, that's okay. You keep at it. And sometimes in our walk with God, that's what it is. We keep at it. We recenter. We we recognize, and the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of says, "Look at that." The Holy Spirit reminds us to maybe we're off center. Our thinking's not right where it should be. Yesterday we went over and we saw some people. One of the people I was visiting with a friend of mine, He said, well, just Corona speaking. And I'm thinking, Corona speak? I didn't know there was Corona speak. But there is obviously Corona speak. People are talking about Corona, not the beer. I think that there's a beer called Corona. They stick the lemon on the edge or something, you know. But coronavirus. That they meet to talk about coronavirus. Well, I talk about it sometimes, but not too much. I talk to it. You know, the Lord has spoken to this thing, but I just thought, you know, so you know, he was talking scenarios of Corona speak, and after a little bit, I had to go to Jesus speak. You know, I've got a pretty simple faith. I don't do it perfectly, but I like to recenter. And put my trust right where it back where it belongs. You know? To be honest with you, I had to recenter. I had to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs because I went out to Slager's and they did the roof without me. It's the first project in all these years that I didn't get something in, and I even thought about, you know, well, maybe I could just hammer a nail or I'll pick up a shingle so I can at least say I was in on it, but it was all done. And I just spoke to myself and I said, it's okay. And that's just that. Sometimes it's just got to be okay. I mean, when I first saw him doing it, I said, what, you don't need my help? No, we got it handled. So something changed because a few days before that, I was told that we're going to do a roof. And you know, you always need help when you're roofing. But I don't know if the word went out, keep the old guys off the roof. But John got to go up. You know? Well, it's not the end of the world. And there's a lot of stuff that's just as silly as that that pushes us down and presses us down, and it really can. I'm doing it laughably, but I did think about it. And I'll tell you what, if you have something that you can think about, you can crawl into a deep hole over something as silly as that if you want to. And how often do we crawl down in a hole? Over something that when we're all done, we think the only thing we did was waste a lot of effort getting down and getting back out of the hole. Right? You know? I mean, some people just think it, you know, the world is over because of the latest trouble that's going on. But we are not as those who have no hope. If it's over, it's just beginning for us. And so this is the hope that we have. This is the confidence that we have. And so we are able to center and rest because we trust in God. I rode the motorcycle this weekend. I was thinking about something and I was praying and I was talking to God and you know, just thanking Him and praising Him. And then I was making sure that I was forgiven. And then I was making sure that I had forgiven everybody, if there was anybody that I needed to forgive. And so I said, Lord, what, you know, He seemed like He brought up a name. And I said, yeah, I have forgiven him. And then I just began to get excited because that person, when we forgave him, was the most wonderful thing. You see, things that look like they're problems in our life can turn into the greatest promises in our lives. Because this person that I forgave, I didn't really even have to forgive. I just accepted what God said. When God told me, you know, years ago when He told me, you know, what you think is coming in isn't coming in. He said, but I'm going to take care of you when you need it. I'll take care of you. And it made sense to me. Which didn't make sense that it made sense to me, because before Christ, the only thing that would have mattered to me was not only would it come in, excuse me, but I would go and extract it if it needed to be extracted. It was coming in. But God turned that into one of the greatest blessings. So then I just began to think about the things. And if you think, sometimes the most tumultuous things, actually, by the time God gets done with them, they've turned into the greatest things. And sometimes we have to look hard to see how they became great. But if we will go ahead, and we will consider that God's working even when we don't see it, and we will look at those things. And maybe you look at something. Maybe you got somebody that you still haven't forgiven. Then there's a promise from God that if you do that, then you'll see. And even before you do forgive, if you'll look, you can see, like a sentence being diagrammed in the old English that we used to diagram in, you can see things sprouting, coming, that are really waiting to bloom. Now if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we've got things that have been budded for a long, 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 long time that are just waiting to bloom. The half has never yet been told. We don't know what's coming from it, but there's a freedom in that. I've had experiences where all of a sudden it would come up, someone that I actually hadn't forgiven because I hadn't thought about him. So if you think you haven't thought about him, you must have forgiven him. But I needed to center. Maybe I was just a little off center of the forgiveness, you understand? Almost forgiven. Because I just don't think about it anymore. But you slide that little bit and the forgiven part comes, and now that thing that has budded can begin to bloom, and you see everything that was being held back when you didn't know there was anything that was being held back. That makes sense? What I'm saying, there's things that are yours by adhering to the promises of God that have not yet been released. It's not because in rebellion you weren't adhering, but it's because maybe you held it, maybe you pushed it down, Maybe you just didn't want to think about it. Whatever the case might be. But it says through him you believe. You adhere to and you rely on God. I believe God. The Apostle Paul's famous words, I believe God. It looks bad, but I believe God. And when you believe God, somebody else is thinking, how do you know it was God? And sometimes when you're believing God, you're not positive that it was God. Mary shared about the power and the presence and the voice of God and the assurance that she had. And she's holding on to that. And Paul says, if I or an angel or anybody else tries to take that away from you, don't you let it go. Because there could easily be somebody say, seriously? Really? You think you hear God? After the way you've been acting and talking, do you think you can hear God? Yes, I do. But maybe I need to recenter. And trust God. First Peter 1:1 says, We'll go to 8, because if we go from 1 to 8, I'll take you way too long. Without having seen him, you love him. Without having seen him, you love him. You came to know him and you loved him really before you knew you loved him, I think. Because I think we grow in love for God. But we come to him because we really need what he's got for us. I heard a guy on a Bible study this last week, and this person said that they'd always been a Christian. You know that what my thoughts were, and you know that I really wanted to talk to him about that, but it was a listening Bible study, and my phone was on mute until somebody said, now if somebody said, Roger, what do you think about that? Lord, give me the words, because nobody's always been saved. No one's always been a Christian. But a lot of people think they've always been a Christian because someone told them that they were baptized and they went to church and they don't consider how much they liked church while they were going to church. You know, there's that when the truth makes you free. I had that. I wasn't always a Christian. A lot of people aren't always a Christian. But it says, though you haven't seen him, you do love him. And you love him. God said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. One of my first questions was, I've said it before, was how am I going to love God more, who I've never seen, than I love my parents who raised me? But if you stick with it, it doesn't take long to figure out that it's not really even a contest. Though you don't see him, you love him. You see, though we don't see him, we come to love him. And though we don't see him in all of our circumstances, a reset is, but I love him. I do love him. I do. When I read verses like this, it's a reminder and it's a challenge. I love him. Am I acting like it? Well, if I'm not perfect to Vicky or not perfect to anybody else, it doesn't mean that I necessarily love them any less, does it? But I might need to reset and show it. And so we have to do that with the Lord. But who you haven't seen, you love him. I love him. I love God. Don't you love God? And just saying, I love God, will bear witness with your spirit. It'll begin to adjust the picture. It'll begin to take it out of tilt. Yeah, I want the blessings to be in the middle of the bubble. I don't want it running off to a side. Because if it runs off to a side, it might just run off. If you're building something and the first 8 inches are a little off and you just keep following, you know how far it's going to be off at the end of 20 feet? Can't figure out why. I have to cut just a little more off of each stud for some reason. It just, you know, by the time you get to the end, you got a sloped roof. But you want it at level. Sometimes our faith can get on tilt. It needs to reset. We don't mean for it to do. We don't wake up in the morning and say, well, I think I'll have a bad day today. But we might get up in the morning and say, this is a terrible day. It's already started on a tilt. Until we, because we have faith and because we have confidence and because we have assurance from God, until we go, wait a second, I love him. I love God. And I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Oh, man, now you have got the perfect equation. I love him and he loves me. Everything is centered. And we have to stand in those places. They ask me when I first got on that Bible study. They asked me to talk about Rogers, and so I told them a little bit about Rogers. And when I told them about the fact that we hadn't heard from him for a month or 2 months or something, they always more than that. Vicki said, "I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun, but you know, you keep writing emails, you don't get any answers back. You keep thinking you're going to see something, you know. Well, they got a couple of guys on that just became a burden for them. And they were praying. And they'd say, any updates? And on Friday I said, no updates, just keep praying. And my old coach said to me, well, is no news good news or is it bad news? And something like that. And I said, oh, you know, I can't let it be bad news. I have to treat it the way I did when my son was deployed. And people would say, boy, that must really scare you. I'd say, I can't be scared because I can't pray if I'm scared. He said, well, that's a good way to think. Now, I don't know if he bought that I actually thought that way totally and completely. But he didn't say, that's a little crazy. He said, you know, that'd be a place we'd like to come to. But, you know, some people have a hard time seeing if you're at the place that you're at, but it's okay. Boy, oh boy, I'm ready for Friday for the update. You know, it was exciting. It was exciting to do a WhatsApp call. To see him, to see this young man, to pray with him and shout with him, to say, show him to Vicki. Look at this. He said, oh, I wish Betty was up. We could praise together. He said, Daddy, we can call anytime and it's free. We can talk anytime. Oh, hallelujah. I might get some weird hour phone calls, but that's okay. And it, you know, and you guys can appreciate because you've been in this. You've heard the praise reports. You've heard the prayer needs. You've heard about it. You've heard about Hosanna restoration in Kenya and Tanzania and Indonesia. And you've heard about, you know, imams getting saved and then their mosques all becoming Christian. And, you've heard about that. And you know, I hear about it and I think, my goodness, that young man, the Lord has blessed him. Snakes die in his presence. And then he says, I tell them, the God of my dead, Roger Day. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Roger Day. I said, Rogers, he's our father. Yes, but you introduced me to the God of Roger Day. No, I introduced you to the God of all creation. But, you know, I just keep reminding him and you know, because every time he says that, I feel smaller and want to get under it oh, Daddy, your prayers. I think, Mike, I don't even know what to pray for you, kid. But God does. God does. He knows what you care about. He knows, and so you remind yourself, hey, I love him. I don't see him, but I love him. I'm not batting 1,000 today, but I love him. I'm not perfect today, but I love God. This one thing I do. I love God, you see, and stick with it. When I was writing the devotion and I came to the end, I said, just tell God you love him and tell him again until, and I didn't know what to say after that. I just put three dots. I didn't know, and then I came back and I read it and then God gave me words to put them, but otherwise I just... Because when we enter into the love of God, it's where do you go from there? It's not a place you want to leave. It's a place you'd like to just stay. It's a place that you feel just a little guilty about when you think I probably better go. But I don't want to go, you know. It's like a little kid. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to leave this spot, Lord. Well, we don't have to leave that spot because he goes with us. I'm with you always. And you believe in him. And you exalt and you thrill with inexpressible, glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. And at that very same time, you receive the result, the outcome, the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love him. You will love the Lord your God. He says, you're going to love me. You're going to love me. Yeah, I do. So then you've got the answer when somebody said, you know, what makes us so sure it'll be okay? I love God. What makes you not worry when that should be the first thing on your mind? I love God. And all these things, we just love God. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have everything figured out. We don't have to perform perfectly in anyone else's eyes. We just need to know that we're perfect in God's eyes. We just love him. And if we love him, he promises he's going to see us through. So even in the most awful things, I mean, The further I rode, the more I just thought of, my goodness, God, you turn all things together to good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. It's just amazing. Those things that seemed the most awful at the time were turned out to be some of the greatest things. Because how great is it when something that should turn you upside down and drop you on your head just begins to trickle out the blessing of the Lord. Isaiah sent us a text last week because his brother had been invited to a celebration and he was riding a dirt bike. And the story was, when we first heard it, and it probably still is, somebody decided to try to jump over him as he rode by on the dirt bike. He went off the bike, hit the curb, and they were calling, asking his parents to come to Sioux Falls. And they were saying that if he dies, the person is going to be charged with murder. That's more interesting when a captain of a ship called me and said, we want you to know we're taking care of your son. What happened to my son? Well, we're taking care of him. Hello? Did he fall overboard? Did he what? Well, we can't tell you because of the hit. I said, don't call me then. What in the world would you call me then for that? Why, can you imagine a parent getting we need you to come down here. If he dies, it'll be murder. How comforting. So the prayer went out. The next morning, he was conscious. A little bit later, he was sitting up in bed. Yesterday he was sitting beside his mother. He looked like he got scraped. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He said he got a little headache. I can't wait to get back to work. Friday night he was going to die. Sunday he was with the comfort of his mother. That's how the Lord is. But the thing that we know is that if he would have died, he would have been with the Lord. Which is even more celebration, but we have to dig for that one. But we love God, and because we love God, we know that God will comfort us. We know that God will lead us. We know that God cares. We just need to remember, I love God. No, I don't see him right now in this. But here's the difference. When you love God, you may not see him, but you're looking for him. You're looking for him. You're expecting. And when Jesus died and when they buried him, the disciples weren't expecting. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have anything to really go by or go on in the midst of that. It was like, we thought it was crazy when he calmed the seas. He just spoke to the water and it quit, and now he's gone. And then he said, hey, what's up? And he showed up. And this is what we have. We have these promises. We have this, and we say, hey, it's not impossible. So we're looking for him. After that first time that Jesus showed up, you got to think that they kind of kept looking for him. He's coming back, isn't he? I mean, why would he just show up one time? He's messing with us. Are you sure we saw him? To Thomas, he said, Thomas, stick your finger here so you'll believe. And Thomas said, whoa, now I believe. I want those times when God comes and says, see. I want those, hello, Daddy. So we look for the answers to prayer. We know it's got to come. We know. And sometimes we can look at those things where we thought maybe the prayer wasn't answered, and we can look at the residual of that, and we think, man, some serious things came of that. You know? There's no way that you can limit God, okay? He can do anything that he wants to do. But with Vicky's and my thinking at the time that if Josiah would have lived, we would not have had Shiloh or Rachel. And if surgery would have worked, we'd have had just Shiloh. What would life be without Rachel? So we look and God doesn't do bad things, but he sure can make good flow. And if we're willing to look, you know, it's like you look at a river and you look at a creek where cows have been walking through, and you don't want to drink that water. But if you go far enough downstream, you'll see it's clear and sparkling. It'll be just dandy. Because we love God. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You'll love him. Just keep loving him. Keep telling him. Until you know. You love him. We love you, Father. And you work all things together to the good of those who love you. So our answer in everything can just simply be, I love God. I just love God. Pray, Lord, I just pray your love would just flow without measure right now into each person. And that we just keep that. That we just retain that. And we put it to use. Every moment. That same love would flow out into people that are probably rioting again today. That they would just find themselves turning around and walking home. Just walking away. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.